Over the last decade, more than 700 children have been killed by a parent or guardian in the midst of a family court case like divorce or custody hearings. That's according to a new database by the Center for Judicial Excellence that for the first time quantifies these deaths, 11 of which occurred in Utah. An investigation out this week by the Deseret News looked into how the system failed these children. I spoke with reporter Jillian Friedman and started by asking her about the story of a mother in California. A warning to listeners, this interview contains descriptions of violence against children.
So when Katie Tagle was 23 years old, she had recently had a baby boy. And she had left her ex-boyfriend months before after he had beaten her so severely that she had lost consciousness. But her ex-boyfriend was able to gain joint custody. And one morning, she woke up to an email that made her heart stop. And in that email, her ex-boyfriend described a threat to murder the child. He said he was going to put Benadryl in the child's juice bottle, and that's how he was going to kill their baby, Wyatt. He said that he was going to do that because he was so angry that Katie Tagle wouldn't get back with him. And so when Katie saw that email, of course, she was terrified, and she went to family court and said, "You can't let my ex-boyfriend have contact with my baby." And the judge listened to her and then said, "My supposition, ma'am, is that you're lying." And then he ordered Katie to hand over her baby, Wyatt. And 10 days later, her ex-boyfriend murdered the baby and then killed himself.
Tagle hoped for some sort of response to her son's death, maybe a change in the law, a change in courts. Did she end up getting that?
She didn't. And that case happened about 10 years ago. And Katie, when I spoke to her, said, after this happened, there was a lot of media attention, and I hoped things would change with the family court system, but I haven't seen anything change.
One of the threads in your story follows how in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, women in family courts are not believed when they bring forward allegations of abuse by their partners. Why aren't women believed?
You know, I have experts telling me this is kind of a Me Too movement that hasn't been explored, and it's happening in family court. Now, like you said, both mothers and fathers are affected by this. Both mothers and fathers abuse their children and kill their children. But we see that mothers are disadvantaged more often, and the reason for that is a controversial theory. It's called parental alienation syndrome. It holds that women who enter a custody battle will, kind of due to a psychological syndrome that develops, a real mental disorder, it causes them to brainwash their children to believe that their children are being abused by their father. And the problem with this theory is that it's been widely discredited. Experts say sometimes, you know, parents do lie in family courts. Sometimes there are issues associated with false allegations that does happen. But the idea of a psychological syndrome, which makes women just sort of out of nowhere feel compelled to lie in order to kind of ruin the life of their ex, doesn't actually occur. But this syndrome is still very much in play in family court decisions, and it makes it so when women enter family court, they're often seen as lying right off the bat before they even say anything.
A family courts judge that you spoke to for this story basically said judges are human and humans can make mistakes, especially when they're dealing with an overflow of cases, which often happens in family courts. Can you fix the fallibility of humans? Is that what the issue is here?
A lot of what people say when they hear about cases like this are that if people are going to kill their children, they're going to kill their children and there's not much you can do about it. But really, my reporting found that that's not the case, that there's a lot that family courts can do. They have to say, is this a false allegation? Is this a situation where it's really immediate danger or not? So they have a hard job, but certainly it seems that there's theories in the court system that are being used that make it harder for these allegations to get taken seriously.
This story is the first in a series on family courts for the Deseret News. As you take a closer look, has this system been failing families and children?
That's why we're taking a close look at this over months. This story was reported over a period of 4 months, and it seemed that the more people I talked to, the more people confirmed that this is an ongoing problem. It's been happening for decades, and the real problem here has been a challenge associated with quantifying the problem. Rather than just people saying, this happened to me or this happened to me, we were really, I think, able with this story to say, well, 700 children are dead. So there's a problem, right? One dead child is too many children. And I hope that this series will shine light on a very complicated and nuanced problem, but one that's absolutely affecting the health and well-being of children.
Jillian Friedman reports for the Deseret News. The next installment of her investigation on America's family court system will be out later this fall.